Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers bringing you a program on what's going on in the sky and how that's showing up on the ground, and answering questions for people who call in. We are Mark Waltz, me, in New York City, and
Ann Ortley, yes? Here also in New York City on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk, and Heather, Heather is on her way. She's calling in from the wilds of North Dakota, so hopefully she'll join us shortly, and then we'll go from there. Well, Mark and I will talk until then.
Right.
Mark and I, we can handle it until Heather gets here. You know, we're good. We're good. Right, Mark? We're good.
Yeah, we're all right until she gets here.
All right.
We're hoping she hurries.
We're hoping she hurries.
And here we are in the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
It is the 15th of June and of the year 2009.
Mm-hmm. Ice Cube's birthday.
And, yeah. Oh, is it?
Yep, according
all
to
right.
my calendar. Mm-hmm. Ice
Maybe
Cube
he'll
and Neil
call
Patrick
in.
Harris. Maybe he'll call in. Maybe he's listening.
Yeah, call in.
Call in, Ice Cube. Speaking of that, our call-in number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. So call in and ask us questions, and Mark and I will keep talking about what's coming in the week to get. So, Mark, what did you notice? What's the excitement from your point of view?
Yeah, a lot of excitement this week.
Mm-hmm.
Big week. Today, Jupiter is stationing.
Yay!
Stands still, or at least it appears to stand still in our sky, and then it's going to start to go backward, which, of course, it doesn't actually go backward, but to our viewpoint, it does go backward. So we will begin to see Jupiter at an earlier part of the zodiac than it was the day before for the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever a planet stations, that always makes its influence really strong. So we're feeling a big Jupiter thing going on. And that's big anyway because Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron have been conjuncting in the same degree at the end of Aquarius for a few weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
They've been within a degree of each other. And so it's a real strong energy, and now Jupiter's backing up. And that's today. And then we have, we know we're getting ready for the sun to go into Cancer, and that'll happen on, the 20th,
mm-hmm.
end of Saturday. And on Sunday, another big deal, Venus conjuncts Mars. So Venus and Mars, the feminine and masculine, meet up and establish a new cycle. So it'll be a little over a year until the next time they meet. And each time they meet up, they set up a new way to work out our masculine and feminine balance, and we play with that for the next year and change.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a new moon coming up next Monday, the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Which is a really powerful.
So it's a busy week.
Yeah, it's a very
yeah.
busy week. Yeah, and the new moon is a big one, too, because it's the first new moon in Cancer opposite the Pluto in Capricorn. So it's going to really kind of seed... we're learning what the Pluto and Capricorn is going to be bringing us over the next 16 years, and this new moon kind of is going to be in sharp relief looking at it and saying, so, like, what do you want us to do? And we'll be kind of going, really? You want me to do that? Okie dokie. So I was thinking about...
It's like a prototype. It's like a prototype.
Right.
You know,
it's like the rough model where you go, I don't really want to do that, Pluto. Come on. Can I have another job? I'd really rather take money
right.
at the door than do the garbage. Yeah, but it'll be an interesting thing. But I was thinking, you know, one of the things I've been noticing is all the hate crimes. We had the Holocaust guy getting shot. We had the abortion doctor getting shot. It just seems like when you listen to the TV or listen to the radio, everybody's yelling at everybody else. And I was kind of thinking, like, what the heck is all this about? And I think it's a lot of the Aquarius energy, you know, with Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron all in Aquarius, everybody's not being polite and nice. They're being kind of bossy, and they're being kind of know-it-all, and they're being kind of shouty, you know, because Aquarian on a bad day can be a little tyrannical, and it can be a little over the top. So I kind of was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, because it just seems like there's just such a harshness, a little bit of a harshness in the energy. And people are just cranky, you know. And I thought, And so that's kind of one of the things I think with the Jupiter stationing today is it's a shift. And of course, whenever a planet shifts, we have a major change. We adjust the reality. And again, as Mark said, we know the planets don't actually go backwards, but from our position on Earth, they appear to go backwards. And as you all know, appearances can be deceiving. You know, if you see something, you kind of go, what did I see there? So what the astrologers have found is when Jupiter goes backwards, our concept of abundance and our concept of growth and our concept of what's good for ourselves shifts, and it changes a little because Jupiter's kind of the good guy. You know, he's one of the, we always think of him as the greater benefic. He's kind of like Santa Claus in the sky. He's a big, jolly, gassy giant. And when he starts going backwards, he's all about truth and justice. And so when he goes backwards, usually there are reversals in that, or there's shifts in what we think is justice or what we think is right or wrong. So I think that his station is really one of the things that I've been looking at as kind of a major turning point in terms of our economic situation, but also for all of us who have been struggling and trying to figure out what our next thing is as we move into this new energy of Pluto and Capricorn. Jupiter stopping and saying, okay, I'm going to give you a little time to figure out what your dream is. I'll be back in October. You better have it figured out by then, because he goes direct in October, mid-October, I think the 12th or the 11th or something like that. So I think Jupiter is, that's my favorite for the week. But I could, you know, I could pitch for another couple. But so what's your favorite one for the week?
Well, I always like the Mars-Venus cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always strong. And this one happens at 15 Taurus.
I also was on the world axis.
Yeah, it makes it a strong connection between those two. And so I think we'll see some themes played out this week in terms of how culturally and individually we're balancing the masculine and feminine. And that always is a balancing act,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, you guys think differently than we girls do.
Exactly.
Right?
It's really true.
It really
and
is.
Yet,
it's like a whole different head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then within each of us, we all have both principles because, you know, we need to have desires and a way to take action toward getting them.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have desires that mean drawing something in. We need to attract things. The power of attraction is as important as the power of grabbing. And we have to balance them.
Right.
And, you know, work them together. So, you know, each time this cycle starts up, we have a sense of how we're meant to work with that. So now we're starting it from Taurus, where Venus is got the upper hand. You know, Venus gets along really well in Taurus. But actually, I think Taurus is not such a bad place for Mars either.
Well, I think Mars, when he's in Taurus, he likes to be harnessed. You know, I always think of Taurus as the bull, or the plow, you know, the cow, kind of being pulled. It, like, you know, if it has a job to do, it actually can do it, and it really is pretty happy with it. And as long as you've got that bull harnessed, it can work really well. So I think that, you know, the concept of Mars and Taurus, it's a little slower moving than maybe Mars likes to work, but I don't think Mars dislikes being in any Earth sign. I think he likes being in Capricorn. He's exalted in Capricorn. And he's, you know, he's a little critical when he's in Virgo, but when he's in Taurus, he can really just plow the fields and say, okay, let me get to work. And he's getting married to Venus this weekend, so we can kind of expect some unexpected weddings in the culture or unexpected relationship changes because Mars and Venus are linking up on Father's Day. And, you know, so a lot of times that gets people to kind of run off and get married. You know, they run off to Reno and or run off to Vegas. But it is in Earth. And Mars, when he's in Earth side hanging out with the woman he loves, he's a happy guy. And so he's happy because she's happy. And that's good. You know, hopefully they'll live happily ever after and, you know, eat lots of chocolate.
They have a good chance.
Yeah.
They're trining Saturn. Saturn's in 16 Virgo.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a good place for Saturn because it's also an Earth sign.
Mm-hmm.
And the trine to the Venus-Mars in the same degree is a really strong trine, and I think it's very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a well-grounded cycle that we're starting.
they've lived together for a while now before they got married. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I know you don't like to hang up your socks at night, you know? You throw your clothes on the floor. It's okay, honey. I'll live with you anyway. Yeah, I think, I'd miss the trine, but you're right. That's a really nice trine. Because what it does is it gives them an ability to deal with the way you have to change things and the way that you have to move things. So, Mark, we have a caller. Let me pick up. You want me to take it?
Sure.
All right, We'll see who it is. I'll try it. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello. I don't know if you're speaking.
Yes, are you? Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And you?
Very good, very good. And who is this?
My name is Aolia, and I'm calling from New York State.
Oh, great. Very cool. Nice to meet you, Aolia. Am I saying that right? And what's what's your question tonight? Welcome to Access Astrology.
Thank you. I just found you about a week ago, and I'm really excited to had no idea if I called I'd get on or not. But do you mind me asking a question about my own chart?
Nope, not at all. What's your chart?
2/14/51, Evergreen Park, Illinois, 9:06
p.m.?
A.M.
A.M. in Evergreen?
Evergreen Park, Illinois.
Okay.
And what that means is that my sun is at 26 degrees Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
And dancing with our triple conjunction of the moment, Neptune on my sun, Chiron on my sun, Jupiter on my sun, Saturn opposing a very juicy stellium in my natal 12th house of Jupiter, Mars, Venus, and the North Node.
Right. Okay. Yep. I've got you as February 14 because I've got a 25-degree sun.
Well, okay.
Okay.
I was taking it up.
You were rounding up? No problem. I just wanted to confirm that I got the date right. February 14, 1951, 9:06. Yeah. Yeah, so the Saturn is saying to you restructure, and he's about to go into the South Node in the 6th. So that can also show up as some health stuff. But you're living in New York now, so you've slightly shifted your chart by moving further east. So actually that stellium of the little gang of – you have a little gang of three in your 12th house with the North Node. They're in the 11th house now because living in the East Coast, you've moved them up a little bit. So what's going to show up is stories around your groups. And stories around your work and your career is going to be the area that the focus is happening. So on some level, your career is dissolving or changing. And you're really being asked to come up with what your next work is going to be, what your dreams of your new work are going to be.
Where can I look in the chart for some guidance in that?
Well, you're always supposed to work, you know, you have a politician's chart or you have a chart that's supposed to work with the greater collective or work in service to the community, because when you have all those planets in 10, 11, and 12, so when you have a lot of planets in what's called the fourth quadrant, the chart is supposed to work for the collective. And so I would say to you, well, the Neptune, Jupiter, Chiron, as they come to that Aquarius sun, what they're doing is they're really stirring it up and changing it, and they're saying to it, come on, let's mutate, let's morph, let's turn into something new, let's kind of create. At the same time, you've got Pluto on your Chiron in the 9th saying to you whatever the wounds were around religion or that the wounds were around the father's side of the family, let's release those so you can go forward and do your best work. So I would think of it as an alchemical change that you're really – that like give that Jupiter, Neptune, Chiron time to dissolve that. And Saturn's going to structure those other planets because that's what he does. And you're done with that restructuring – by the end of July, it looks like, when Saturn gets past 19. So
yeah, that's the third. That's really the third hit.
I think the third hit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what have your experience been of it? Have you been really being restructured in terms of your direction and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Work has been very difficult for more than just the recent end of February, early March of 07. Seven regular paychecks just vanished, and I'm finding it very challenging time.
Mm-hmm. And you're coming up on your second Saturn return too, which is that's in the fall, so that'll be when Saturn gets to one. Yeah, I mean, I would say to you, it's, you know, part of your mythology with Saturn high, and you know, you have Capricorn ruling your chart, and it's in Libra, part of, and it's in the sixth house. There's a little part of your chart that kind of says, you know, if I work hard and I do a good job, I should get what I'm, what I deserve. It's got a right.
And oh, then, it's that voice is there, but that doesn't seem to be the overriding reality here.
Right, that's the voice. And then the other part is you're kind of a rebel with the sun opposite Pluto, where
right.
you can kind of push the authorities a little further past where they maybe want to go because you're a truth teller.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have these conflicting energies between the I'm supposed to be a good girl and follow the rules, and I'm actually kind of a wild child and I don't really want to. And
I don't know how, you know.
I don't know how. Right.
Despite
yeah.
my best efforts, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And so what I would say to you with all that stuff in the 12th house, that there's a karmic and spiritual purpose for you around following your truth, whatever your truth is. And if you just kind of focus on the truth, it'll actually take you to where you're supposed to go.
Right.
When you argue with the truth, Saturn on the south node in Virgo saying, well, I have to control this or I have to do this or whatever, you got that Mars, Venus, and Jupiter in Pisces. They have a, you've got a friggin' ocean in your chart that's going to take you where it wants you to go. You don't
exactly.
have a whole lot of control. Not to be mean, but your chart doesn't.
No, I've noticed this. I've noticed this. Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't want you to be in control. You're supposed to be kind of, you know, floating, you know.
Several times throughout my life, I've attempted to focus and say, okay, I'm going to study this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that. And the universe just sort of laughs at me.
It does, yeah. This is not a chart you can really plan anything with. Some charts aren't supposed to be planned, you know. You're supposed to just kind of, because you have a finger of God, and the finger of God laughs when you plan.
Yeah. But what I'm finding as I get older is that it's harder to swim in that ocean. Whether that's, you know, whether I can find that astrologically in my chart or whether it's just the process of aging that says, oh, you know, can I really still just swim and not need some security?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a little hard for you to feel that now. The good news is come fall, some of that pressure of Neptune will... The Neptune-Jupiter Chiron together will ease up a little on the sun, but they're basically with you for the year. You got to deal with that.
Yeah, and through, like, February of next year, I think, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have that as a theme, and that makes it a little hard to really know, but that's where you have to rely on just your sense of faith and your spiritual connection. And
right.
you can't know the answers logically, right? But the other thing that will happen is you get your Saturn return, it's going to activate the grand trine in your chart, which is in air signs.
Yes.
And that involves Saturn, Mercury, and the moon. And so you want to try to be strong with that grand trine as you answer to Saturn on this second Saturn return. And that means being very mental about your emotions. And... being able to examine them, and not fleetingly, but really sitting with them and looking at how your emotions, through your ability to understand them, have been a support in your life. And, you know, stand on that support now so that everything that you're able to observe with your mind about how your feelings work and how you're able to work with other people's feelings, realize that you're able to create structure through that. And with this Saturn return, that'll be a good strategy for you. So
mm-hmm.
spend some time, you know, being very analytical about the role of feeling and nurture and all of the moon things in your life.
Right.
Right.
And Mercury's actually stimulating the trine now, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
also.
Yep.
Not obviously not as powerful as the second Saturn return, but
Well, they're, you know, they kind of all weave together, you know. So if we think about it, the other thing that you have is you have the Saturn-Uranus aspect in your chart. Saturn and Uranus are square to each other. And right now in the sky, they're opposite to each other. So your chart's very, very active. I mean, a lot of the planets are really kicking. And so a lot of times when that was going on, I always just say, you know, kind of just show up and do what's in front of you. And when you start to worry, just say, you know, I've got all these big transits that are taking me someplace. And I don't really know where that's going to be. And until it's clear, I can spend time worrying, or I can just show up and do what's in front of me. And the Saturn.
Yeah, I've been doing pretty okay for quite a while, and then had some bronchial health problems this last month that seemed to just push me right over the edge, and panic set in.
Okay.
Well, and I feel like I've got my equilibrium back now, but
yeah.
I was just panicking about financial income in particular that wasn't any different than it had been the month before. You know, it's been this way for quite a while, and I've been keeping the faith, you know. But I found that the physical stuff just really, I just had a week or two of just panic.
That's also Saturn opposite, you know, going into, you know, he's coming off of the station. So he got to 14, he's stationed on your Jupiter, right? And which is, you know, in Pisces, so that's like the lungs in the sense of water, fluid. And then he's on the Venus, so Saturn's now going to be opposite the Venus saying, I have no money, I have no money, I have no money. And then he's going to be opposite the Mars saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what I'm going to do. So you basically just need to kind of, you know, get a pool and go swim in it for the month of July. And every time the anxiety comes up, just kind of say, you know, this is all part of Saturn going through opposite my little stellium in Pisces. And that Pisces stellium can run away with itself. It can get very, very anxious about, you know, just kind of take off. You know, and as your comment was, I'm looking at it logically, and I know I made the same amount of money, but once the health thing kicked, it made me aware of if I can't make money, I'm going to die, you know, and that's a very, you know, that's what this transit's about. If I can't make money, I'm going to die. It's like, no, you're not going to die. But when you're aware of your physical vulnerability, your chart freaks out. Because Aquarian suns don't like to be in their bodies. You know, they say, what's the body? I don't need a body. I'm a mind, right? And so when your body brings you back down to Earth, and it will because Saturn's in your sixth house, it's saying to you, I want you paying attention to your work and your body. It makes you kind of go, oh, okay, I better pay attention to that. And then when you realize you haven't been, then you freak out. Does that make sense?
Well, it's wonderfully affirming that to just keep doing what I've been doing, even though you know, on this very physical plane, it doesn't feel all that productive. But I just keep trying to tell myself that. If I get up in the morning and I do my practices and I, you know, take each day as it comes and do the best that I can, that that's actually a lot of work right now.
It is.
It is, and it's actually what it's going to do, and this will happen all the way through the Saturn return, is you're getting a lesson in minimalism. You're really going to be seeing that what you need is actually very simple. And you can provide for that. And when you get into the worries, it's about things that actually are more complicated than they need to be.
Right.
You know, so you're being invited to really ground yourself in, you know, what do I need? And, you know, your needs come down to being supported emotionally and having your feet on the ground. You know, and you don't need a lot of money for that. You know, you need your practices. You need your everything that makes you stable by being alert and paying attention.
And you need your groups.
Yeah.
And you need to be clear about what your hopes and dreams are. And you also, I would encourage like a regular meditative practice with that, because that, you know, if you sit every day and you do affirmations, mean, it always people are going, oh, affirmations, you know, and it's like, no, because the negative self-talk, we give it a lot of, it gets a lot of space all by itself, and it just kind of
Often we're flying under the radar unless we're very careful, you know.
Yeah, and it's just shooting at us, and we don't need it. You know, there's enough scary stuff going on in the world. We don't need to be picking on ourselves. But it does give you this, you know, give yourself the vision of, okay, how do I affirm and what do I need to do? What supports me and nurtures me? And water for you is really big. So, you know, water, fluid, lots of fluid when you're nervous, you know, going to the bathroom, putting your hands under water, releasing the energy, you know, doing chakra balancing, a lot of energetic bio work, you know, take up Tai Chi and kind of pull the energy in and feel how the earth has the source of energy for you. And you can do a lot with what you have, what else do you need, and what where are you? You know, just really ground yourself, and then your chart doesn't get nearly so freaked. Because you don't have a lot of earth, you know.
The earth Capricorn midheaven is about really, you know, in my limited astrological understanding, that's about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I don't have a lot of fire either. Late Aries rising and
Pluto.
No personal planets, certainly.
No personal planets, right. Well, you got Juno, but she's in the 8th house. But, yeah, I mean, I look at asteroids. But, yeah, no personal planets. So light a candle and do some sit-ups. You'll feel much better. Because you're getting yourself in the body and you're inspiring yourself with the light. And those
right.
are two things you need to, you know, give yourself the light, give yourself the physical. Because then your chart grounds and it can be productive.
Well, I'm fortunate in that I have found one of my very active spiritual practices for many years is keeps me in my body and attuned to a higher spiritual plane. And but I forget, and sometimes I lose track, and I get off in the river mist and.
You are a Pisces. You got all that stuff in Pisces. You're supposed to float on the river
That's
at least
right.
once a day, if not more, you know.
Yeah. I have over the years that I naturally gravitate to living very close to the river, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a good idea because it actually is a bigger source. Having a bigger source of body water, having a bigger source of water near your body is actually good because then it doesn't come into you. It goes into the water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On an
mm-hmm.
energetic level. Yeah. So good.
And the other thing that I don't know how much time we can take here, but you mentioned something that's always been a little bit of a mystery to me in my life, and that is, you know, hopes and dreams. I in the same sort of sense of having difficulty making plans and making them manifest on a sort of intellectual place, I have always had difficulty envisioning exactly what, you know, when I was a kid, it's like, what do you want when you grow up? It's like, I want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, but, you know, what
right.
does that look like?
Well, it's going to change.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, and right now it's going to be actually, this is one of the hardest periods in your life for you to answer that question because of the Neptune sun, right?
Right.
So you're going to have to go on trust. You know.
I'm going to have to just be okay with the fact that I've never been able to be real specific about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Is what I hear
yeah.
you saying.
Definitely, as long as Neptune is near your sun. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You're being taken care of, and you just have to trust that.
Yeah.
Well, and isn't it, I keep telling myself that, not only because of, you know, the wonderful beneficent of Jupiter in my natal chart, but Jupiter's there at the same time Neptune is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I hope. Go ahead.
And Neptune and Jupiter argue in your chart, right? So Neptune argues with Jupiter. So every time Jupiter says to Neptune, every time Jupiter says to Neptune, this is my dream, Neptune goes, I don't think so. And then your moon in Gemini goes, really? You don't think so? And
let's
Neptune's
talk
like,
about this.
No. I don't think so. And so it's about now what's happening is the two of them are cooperating.
Yeah.
Because they're joined. And in your chart, they argue. So it's not that you don't get your dream. What you get is the dream you actually wanted. You don't necessarily get the dream you asked for. There's a really
yeah.
good...
Right.
The other thing that will happen with you is that you don't necessarily have the same tightly bound dream that everyone does. Mm-hmm. Your dreams may involve something beyond yourself, and that's totally okay. You still get what your goals are.
Mm-hmm. The job or the income or the you know, the house or the car or.
Exactly.
Not the focus of your life.
But you do need to still look toward goals and dreams, even if they're not things that you carry in your pocket. Okay?
Yes.
Because that's why you have Sun and Mercury both in the 11th house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you think about it, like I would say to you, if when you look back on your life, if whenever you needed something, didn't it show up? Or something.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing with your chart. It's not about, you know, a lot of people's charts, when they're born, especially earlier in the zodiac, it's about doing things to create something. Your chart's at the harvest part. The harvest is over. The crops have been sold. The money's in the bank. We fixed the plows. We're ready for spring. Let's sit around the campfire and tell stories. And then let's go have a good dream. That's what you're here to do. Sit around the campfire and tell stories, have a good dream, and then spring will come. So you're kind of that's the part of the chart you carry in the agricultural cycle. The dream of the new thing and the culmination and the realization of what actually went on before and the ability to see it and to tell the story. Well, we had a really big year and then we had a flood and then we had the grasshoppers and then we had and you're kind of the myth maker and the storyteller. You work for the bigger picture of the collective, and you kind of unite the stories in service to the collective, as opposed to planting the crops or, you know, making sure you have 20 beans in your pocket. That's not your focus, because your focus is pass the hat and everybody throw a dollar in, and I get $5 at the end, and that's what I need to buy the pizza. And tomorrow I'll play the fiddle and I'll get $10 and I'll have a beer and a pizza. It's a much more etheric-y, you know, floating with the universe where it's going to take you kind of chart. And you'll be taken where you're needed, and you'll be given what you need to do. And, you know, it's not that you can't make money. Certainly you can, but that's not your drive. It's not you're not here to create piles of cash. You're here to make a change in the world and make the world a better place.
And somehow because I don't have the shared dream with everybody else, what I find is that I have to be really careful not to get sucked into, okay, I'm getting older, and, you know, what the culture's idea, society's idea of what that's supposed to look like, it haunts me at this point more than ever.
Yes. And you have to say to the culture's idea, that's the culture's idea, but I'm an Aquarian. I go a different path. I always have. And I always did it. And that's kind of who I am. I'm always on a different path. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn to read astrology charts, and I'm going to go live on a cruise ship for my retirement. And, you know, I'm going to sail from port to port and eat banquets all day long. Who wants to be in a nursing home?
It's
like understanding that your chart is purpose. Your purpose of your chart is here to take care of you. You know, it's here to nurture you, to create the life you're supposed to make in this lifetime. And that said, you know, your progressed sun right now is kind of moved into a place where it's feeling like it wants to do something a little more assertive in the world. So
Aries sun in the first house.
Right, you're ready now to kind of poke along and say, okay, now I want to do this. And if you want to, your chart can do it. You've got Taurus rule in the second house. Venus is exalted. She's joined to Jupiter. She's in the 12th house. She can make money. I mean, as fast as you make it, you're going to spend it, but you can definitely make it. But that has never been your life focus. And I don't know that you want to necessarily shift to it now, but you certainly could. There's phases.
No, I don't. I you know, my faith is being tested a little bit in terms of, you know, how. And, you know, I've heard that said a lot about, you know, well, you spend it as fast as you make it. I've actually been more of a saver. I mean, even when I was 18 and hitchhiking around the country with $20 in my shoe, I was still I still had $20 in my shoe, you know.
Right. Right. Which is the $20 that the other guy that you were hitchhiking with didn't have. Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Works for me. I'm with you. It's a good story.
All right.
So we're gonna let you go, and we're gonna finish up our show on the thing. But hopefully,
yep,
we helped you with your questions.
You certainly did. Thank you so much. I'll enjoy listening to the rest of the
time. Yeah, because we have to talk a little bit about the rest of the aspects for the week. But thank you for calling. You had a good chart, and it's going to be fine. Once Saturn gets off your south node, you're going to feel much, much better.
I'll bet.
And he gets off, because he's pushing on all those Pisces planets, telling them to suck up and do hard work. And Pisces is not about doing that. Pisces is about being the dreamer and the artist. So do hard work, like paint your house, or, you know, do painting in your... or do some kind of collective service where you're beautifying the neighborhood, and that will help that chart feel much more grounded, too.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Take good care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so.
Cool. So let's finish. We got a little more time to go on the clock until we are done. So let's just talk a little bit about what else. The sun is going to square the gang of three this week, right? It's going to square them on Wednesday as it gets into – the moon's going to be in Aries and the sun's in Gemini squaring that gang and squaring Uranus, rather, and trining the gang. So what that's going to do is it's going to give us an enormous push towards understanding what our dream is. It's going to help us see our choices, I think. I think that's a nice aspect. And then on the weekend, when the moon's in Gemini, it repeats what the sun does on Wednesday. So the sun is the ego, so you get it intellectually on Wednesday. And then on an emotional level, you get it on Friday, Saturday. So I think that's kind of a nice catch, or actually more Saturday. That's a nice catch to saying, okay, what are your dreams? And her comment before, like, I don't know what my dream is. It's like, well, yeah. Dreams change. You know, you get the dream and then you go, you know, I got the dream. Now what? It's about the process, people. So any comments you have, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to look at the week and how to make this change. And, of course, the sun after it does that square, then next thing you know, we have the solstice with the sun sliding into Cancer. And that's always a big deal each year.
We love the solstice.
Yeah, And that's the longest day. That's worth celebrating. And, of course, that means the days start getting shorter. But they don't feel like
it can't be fall already.
Right.
Right.
But it'll be a long time before we really notice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we move into the really solid summer months.
Right.
Yeah.
And for you Southern Hemisphere listeners, if there are any, for you, the days are starting to start getting longer on Sunday. You're going to start moving towards spring. But I don't know if we have any summer listeners, any Southern Hemisphere listeners. I love the solstice. That's like one of my favorites. And it was one of those, you know, when you first learn about it, and it's when the sun literally stops in the sky. Sol, sun, stis, stations. And he, you know, Mark, the thing that I think is so cool is he sits there for three whole days and he kind of looks at you and he goes, I'm just resting here. I'm just going to rest and then I'm going to head south again. And it's kind of one of those moments, you know. It just kind of feels to me like, oh, you know, it's the sun is so bright, it's so big, it's so glorious, it's so stopped, you know. So it's kind of cool. My dad has a telescope and he... every day he notices where, you know, he moves the telescope where the sun is, you know, as sunset, because he watches sunset from his place in Florida. So he moves the telescope, and every day it moves a little bit, and it moves a little bit. And he kind of moves the thing, and then it gets to the solstice, and he stops, and he moves back, and he gets to the solstice, and he stops. So it's kind of like this little barometer of, you know, how the sun shifts in the sky, because it literally moves up and down around the equator. And this is the highest it is and the hottest it's going to get. And then for the Alaska people, it's when the sun doesn't set. It's the night of the midnight sun. So I love solstice. I always feel like, it's one of my favorite seasons. That's like my favorite of the cross quarter times, or the quarter times, I guess, season changes.
Yeah.
So do you have any solstice plans? Are you going to go dance around and sing or something?
Well, I don't have a social event planned.
Okay.
But you know, I always mark those changes,
mm-hmm.
at least meditatively.
Yeah.
Have you got a party planned for it?
No, I don't. But I was thinking, I should find one. I'm in the mood for a party. Because that's the same day that Mars and Venus are getting together, right? So we've got, like, the two of them kind of going, okay, let's have a party. And Mars and Venus are in the mood to court. So Saturday night, people, good night to go out on any date, okay? Good night to go out looking for somebody. Friday, not so bad. Or Sunday's a good night to go out, too. And then this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when the moon's in Aries, or actually Tuesday, Wednesday, when the moon's in Aries, really good closing aspects to get stuff out the door, because the moon's closing aspect is moon sextile the sun. And then on Thursday, Friday, also good closing aspects to get things out the door, because the moon is square Jupiter. That can be a little over the top, you know, the Thursday, Friday stuff, because you're in the mood to put in extra that they don't really need. And also, if you buy stuff, that's a better that's a date overspend Thursday, Friday, but it really kind of kicks. And then the moon is in Gemini on the 20th, and it repeats the aspects that Wednesday makes around emotional stuff, and then we go forward into it. The other thing I think we need to say is that when the sun gets to zero Cancer, it's going to oppose Pluto in Capricorn, and that's a biggie, because what that does is it kind of really speaks to setting off that cross-quarter. Pluto went into Capricorn in January of last year, and it never got to May. It never got to June. It got back into Sag. So this is the first time we've had Cancer ingress in Capricorn. So this is going to bring up really big emotions for a lot of people. There are going to be a lot of emotions riding around Saturday, Sunday, Monday, around family members, around people that we love, around people that we care about, because there's, like, you know, oppositions are releasing energies. It's letting us see the choices we have. And sometimes we're going to let things go on this energy. And then right behind those are the eclipses, which we'll talk about in more detail down the road. So I think it's a really big full moon, or new moon, rather. And and there's a lot of emotion around it, you know. So, but Mercury's in Gemini.
Okay.
It can only be good.
That's
any last
right.
thoughts? Huh? Pardon?
No, I think we're ready for the week.
Cool.
And thanks for tuning in.
Yes.
Again, this is Access Astrology. You can find us at astronyc.com, astronyc.com. Mark Waltz, New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York. And Heather, somewhere in North Dakota. We'd never heard from
North
Heather,
Dakota.
Did we? North Dakota.
So we'll get her report.
Maybe
we'll get
she
her
had
report.
A, maybe she had a snowstorm. You know, they're still snowing out there in North Dakota, even though it's
right.
June. Those people are cold. Or the snow is cold. But, yeah, so
the
Heather's
snow.
Normally with us. So.
All right.
So catch us on our blog. Tell your friends about us. Tune in. Call in. You heard what lovely advice we gave to the lady that called. Elo, I think I'm saying her name right. I'm not sure I'm saying it right. And have a really, really good week. Just remember, you have a choice. You always have a choice. This week you're going to be aware of your choices. Choose wisely. Do you have any last wise words, Mark?
That's it. I'll go with that.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
See you guys next week. Bye.